Welcome to the John Curley and Sherry Ellicker Show. John and Sherry are out one more day. They will be back next week on Monday. So today you have me, Jake Skorheim, host of Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim. And alongside me, four more hours of this guy, Spike O'Neill.
I'm here for you, buddy.
Welcome back to the show.
Back and back.
Does this make you really tired to be here for this long?
No, are you kidding me?
You get energized.
Have you met my wife? You know what going home looks like for me at the end of the day?
I haven't actually met her yet, no, but she sounds lovely.
She is adorable.
Based on what you have explained these last couple of days.
Truly unpleasant, Miss O'Neill is happy to have me gone for three, 4 more hours at a time.
Well, this is a nice treat for her then.
It really is. I do this for her.
It's good for me and it's good for her. So we just both do the hangout. I hope that the audience is excited that Spike and I are back. Oh, my audio is not working. Let's try that again. I hope the audience is excited.
No, God! No, God, please, no! 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 No!
Okay.
Can we just get him escorted from the building, please?
Should we just get right into it? We got a lot of news to get to today. Yeah. Did you guys see this headline about puppy disease?
Parvo.
Parvo.
You bet, yeah.
Yeah, which I didn't know. Like, that doesn't do it justice. Puppy disease is much catchier.
It is.
Here's the headline on MyNorthwest.com. You guys can check it out there. Highly contagious puppy disease raises concerns in Renton. This was scary. Number one, because anytime I see pictures of tiny, cute animals, I tend to click on that thing. But this one is about a pretty scary puppy disease that's going around. Renton residents are on high alert. There's an outbreak of how do you pronounce this? Parvovirus?
Parvovirus, yeah.
Parvovirus. Yeah. It's a dangerous disease. It primarily affects puppies, which is awful and tragically adorable kind of horrible. An area clinic says that they have seen 3 cases of this in the last few weeks. The common denominator here is if you have taken your dog recently to Renton's, Petrovsky Park?
Petrovsky. Yeah.
Petrovsky Park, which is not actually a dog park. It's just this big 90-acre open green space.
Right.
People are taking their dogs to it. But you apparently catch this through exposure to contaminated feces, and it's really dangerous.
Yeah, and puppies are sniffers. They're explorers. They sniff at everything, and that's how you pick it up. It can last for weeks after an infected animal will do their business in a dog park.
Do you have dogs?
I got a little pup.
Does this scare you?
Scared. We don't take this pup to dog parks for just this reason. And our dog is inoculated, vaccinated for parvo.
Sure.
As all pets should be. But, you know, vet bills can be expensive. And some people live without the luxury of going to get all your shots for your dog. And if you go to a dog park, it can be a dangerous thing to take your dog to such a public place.
Sure.
You want your dog to have interaction with other dogs and play and run. Dog parks are wonderful if you don't have big yards.
For their development.
It really is. It's important for their development. But you can't just... Unless they've had their shots, be wary, especially when they've found instances like this.
So if anybody's seeing any of these symptoms in their dog, they should probably have it looked at. They could be lethargic, loss of appetite, vomiting, severe diarrhea, bloody, which is awful, abdominal pain, fever, hypothermia. It's just a bad deal.
Yeah, and any pet who's experiencing these, whether your dog's been to a dog or a pet's been to a dog park or not, or... go to a vet.
Yeah.
You love your little family member, your fur.
But you're right. It is really expensive.
It's very expensive.
And
hard to get in these days, by the way.
Is it really?
It's hard. If you don't have
I haven't had a
vet,
pet for years.
It is hard to find a vet who's taking new pets, new patients.
It's like
a
real doctor's office.
It is. I mean, we get updates from our vets. It's time for a checkup because our pup has just turned 2, actually. So really not a pup, more of a teenage dog. Doesn't take my calls anymore. Turns up their nose all the time. Tells me I don't know anything.
Just hates your stories.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The teenagers. can't get rid of them. We love, but our pup's such an important part of our family.
It is
a heart-fixing machine.
I'm not meaning to suggest that you're this way, and I'm not meaning to insult your dog.
Sure.
People take pet parenting really, really seriously now.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think they're taking it more seriously than they should? I mean, like, if you have vets, you can't even get an appointment with vets because they're not accepting new patients, clients, customers, whatever you would call it.
I don't think veterinarian visits to your pet, regular health checkups and health maintenance for your pet, that's not overdoing pet parenting. Putting your pet on a Christmas list, getting a stocking for your dog, that's what gets a little crazy.
What do you think about pushing them around in like a
the baby stroller?
Yeah.
Best joke I ever heard. Jack hates when I do this. You know John Mulaney, comedian?
Yeah.
You ever heard him tell stories about him pushing Petunia, his French bulldog, around town in a baby stroller?
I have not.
He and his wife would push their baby stroller around New York City in their stroller. I think that's a little weird.
Is this before he had actual kids?
Yeah. Yes.
I expect so.
He tells a joke about him when Woody Allen and Sun Yi got out of a taxi cab in New York, and he's like starstruck. But he gets out, and he looks at Sun Yi and Woody, and he goes, that just doesn't look right. And they look back at him and his the French bulldog and everything, like, that doesn't look right. They both have the same moment of awareness and just
they're
walk
both
away
wishing
without
they
saying
didn't see
anything.
The other one.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Oh, that's funny.
How I feel about dogs and strollers.
That's funny. But let me tell you what's not funny. It's parvovirus. So take it seriously. We're not taking this conversation seriously.
We are.
No, we are, but we're
we
not
love
like,
our pets.
No, we love our pets, and obviously yeah. we want the best for our pets.
We're not fear-mongers. We're not doing.
No. But parvovirus is out there, and then if we can get just a second to scare you about something else. Do you guys want to hear about bird flu? This is actually something, I saw this headline. My wife and I were actually talking about this morning. King County doctor is confronting bird flu with lessons learned from COVID-19. And my wife was like, why on earth are they pushing bird flu now? Why is this a thing that we need to be scared of? Mm-hmm. I actually read the article so she wouldn't have to. And then I actually felt a little bit better because this health official basically says, this is a thing. It's not super scary for human beings right now.
Right.
And so you don't really need to worry about it the same way. But, you know, we did just get through a pandemic and people are still kind of on high alert.
And this case is that they found that the bird flu has transferred to other animals. Is that what I'm reading?
Right? Yes.
It's gone to cows.
Yeah. So basically,
then could jump to humans. All they're saying is just let's be aware, you know.
Yeah. They said just this week, a Texas man became the second known person in the U.S. to contract bird flu, more formally known as avian influenza H5N1. The King County Health Officer, Dr. Jeff Dukin, said there's no new concern here for the general public. The risk remains low. People most likely to contract avian flu, including the Texas case, are people who work in close contact with infected animals.
Right.
But aren't they saying that all the birds flying around have most likely had some sort of contact with avian flu? So unless you're going out, I mean, like, my mom keeps a lot of bird feeders around the house.
Oh, okay.
So is that something she needs to worry about?
It might be. I don't know enough about the transmission of avian flu to just migratory birds.
Just like, I guess, just
territorial birds.
She's not petting the birds.
Well, but if you're working with a bird feeder, if you're feeding your hummingbird feeder, filling it, or that kind of thing, should you wear gloves? Maybe a little extra careful?
Maybe. I also saw an article that said you shouldn't eat sunny side up eggs because...
What?
Yes, they said you shouldn't eat sunny side up
make
eggs
sure
right now.
Cook eggs
make
and
sure
egg
it's
yolks?
Thoroughly cooked just in case
I haven't seen that.
It made its way into the population.
So you know, that's either rolling an egg or being the guy who's pushing them out. Come on.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Exactly.
He should definitely be worried, especially somebody if you're in a susceptible member of the population like the aged president is. Be extra careful.
Careful. He's got a lot more to worry about than
sure.
bird flu, though.
TikTok.
So Dr. Dukin said being prepared. He talked to Cairo, actually, us. He said being prepared does not mean just having plans on the shelf. It means putting resources in place to allow those plans to actually be implemented to make sure that we have the capacity in our public health and healthcare delivery systems and in our communities so that we can weather another pandemic. We all know this will happen again. That's what he says. But again, he says this bird flu, you don't need to be worried about this. You don't need to think about it like coronavirus.
But he's front-loading the system in case something happens.
Do you feel like this was overdone, though? Do you feel like the reporting on bird flu is a little overdone? I mean, this is all I've been seeing for the last 2 days is bird flu.
No, because they're not telling us to panic. They're telling us, hey, look, we're aware it's out there.
But doesn't it implicit, like, isn't
we've
it implicit?
Got systems in place. We're monitoring those. We're putting resources in case this develops into something bigger.
Would you, when you saw this bird flu stuff, what was your first thought?
I mean, anything that has the word virus attached to it is clickbaity. You know what I mean?
Whether, exactly.
Okay.
Despite the intention, and you know, I'm sure a lot of it is well worth reading and important. But just the human condition right now is like
all
oh,
of
no.
these articles, yeah. CNN, Fox News, everybody's talking about bird flu. And every time you read one of the articles, it goes, bup, 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 bup. You don't really need to worry about it.
Right.
But like they know we're going to click on it, which is why I think they're putting it out there.
Well, same with monkeypox, which is another one that keeps popping up because they've had a few cases, but it's something that's been around like the bird flu for decades. And
every few years, it seems like.
Well, you know when bird flu affects us? When it wipes out an entire chicken farm,
right.
as
yeah.
it did earlier this year and last year, these right. when they like we had to kill a billion chickens because of avionic flu spreading through various
which
right.
then
produce.
Messes with the price of eggs.
That's right. That's when it affects us is at the grocery store.
I'd much rather affect the price of eggs.
And
than
it almost killed that
product,
ostrich
though.
On TikTok. Remember Emmanuel, the funny ostrich?
No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to spit my coffee. You follow Oscar Lee.
there was a girl. She works on some farm. I can't remember where. And she was like, it was like, Emmanuel, don't. She's talking to the email. Or ostrich or whatever.
I do know who you're talking about now.
One video went viral, and that bird ended up catching the bird flu and a bunch of others that they had on that farm that had to be killed.
Is he okay?
He is okay.
No.
Yes.
Oh, thank the Lord.
Months and months of rehabilitation. Emmanuel is okay.
Do we have a breaking news banner that one ostrich is doing fine?
Yes.
All right, let's move on. Have you guys heard about this Boeing Alaska $160 million payment that they made to Alaska?
Yep.
What happened there?
Solid citizen. Boeing was compensated, or excuse me, Alaska was compensated by Boeing. When Boeing's flights were, when the plane's door blew out, pardon me, I've been on for a while now, I'm kind of rambling.
The door plug
when
on the
Alaska
flight. The
door plug blew out, Alaska Airlines, and a lot of, who was it, the other one, was it United that had the other huge MAX flight, fleet, I should say, the Boeing MAX? They grounded their planes for mandatory safety checks. So Boeing has compensated Alaska Airlines for loss of business due to the grounding and safety checks of those planes.
Got it. All
and
right.
Nobody had to take anybody to court. There was no litigation. They said, we need this compensation because we grounded it because of your, and Boeing agreed.
But it's going
to
be a lot more than $160 million, I guess. They're just, that this is an initial payment. They're going to probably end up paying them more at some point.
There's Boeing
just,
in Alaska?
This is just,
could very well be.
Tax loss stuff.
Yep.
Como has some of the details for us.
Alaska Airlines says Boeing has paid the carrier $160 million in initial compensation for that door plug that blew out of a 737 MAX during a flight back in January. The airline says it expects additional compensation from Boeing and added that the terms for that are confidential. Alaska says the initial payment covers its pre-tax loss related to the accident. That includes lost revenue and having to ground its MAX 9 fleet for 3 weeks after the incident.
You know, does this, let me ask you a question about this real fast and then we can move on. But did this incident make you, I was reading this article about this flyer, this frequent flyer, and she was saying that this has made her very cautious about getting onto flights that she knew were Boeing produced airplanes. Just this Alaska door plug thing.
Yeah.
I feel like a little bit of that is fading away now, and we're starting to maybe get the confidence back, or maybe just the mass hysteria of the story kind of started to fade away, and now people are moving on. Their stock prices are going up again.
Yeah, I think you're right about those. All those points are well thought out, well made. And people will tell you, if it's Boeing, I ain't going. It used to be the opposite. If it ain't Boeing, I ain't going was the initial mantra around the Great Northwest.
I saw that yesterday at the Museum of Flight.
Yeah.
I was at the Museum of Flight after the show.
But now, since this string of incidents Boeing has had, the wheel falling off the one plane, I mean, Boeing's had the tail rudder guide snapped, and that drove that plane off of runway as it was landing. Boeing's had far too many of these little incidents pop up in succession, and Boeing's stock took a hit, and the company is looking at making safety first again as opposed to making production the rule number one at Boeing, was get them out the door. Now it's keep them in the air, as it should be.
Yeah.
Hasn't made me change how I do things, though. I still think air travel is still the safest way to travel
very,
in the
very,
face
very
of
safe.
The earth. Problem when it goes wrong badly, right? And I got to tell you, we talked about this a little bit earlier. People make their buying decisions based on the price of the ticket, not on what kind of plane it is.
Like if you save $20, you're like, yeah, I'll take a Boeing.
Yeah.
Save $20. I saw the stat the other day and it said like flying is still by far the safest way to travel.
Absolutely.
Your odds of getting into an accident on an airplane are like 0.00. It's like 0.4026%. It's so minuscule.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just not going to happen.
If they check
until
cars,
it does,
if they check and cars and drivers the way they check planes and pilots, we would never have a car accident.
Yeah, no, it's been very safe. It's been very good. All right, so we feel good about Boeing, or we're starting to feel better about Boeing. As I was walking around the Museum of Flight last night, I love that place. Joe, you and I were just talking about this the other day.
And it makes you realize that Boeing basically won World War II for us.
Yes.
Because the big tide turning point in that war was the air raids over.
And their
over,
ability to churn out aircraft.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they kept coming out with new ones and better ones. And then there's a great series on Apple TV called Master of Flight, I think.
Yeah.
And that's all, they're all in Boeing aircraft. It's really cool.
So we saved the world.
Yeah.
What was fun about it for me is, you know, I have three little boys right now, about to have a fourth. And when we were walking around, their eyes just get big. You're looking at these behemoths. I walked them underneath the SR-71 Blackbird,
which
is still right there, and you can see it. And when I was a kid, going down to the Museum of Flight was like, you know, it was like Disneyland, because you're just like, oh my gosh, look at all these cool planes. And like, especially for little boys, like, and well, little girls too, but
yeah,
like jets.
I have two girls, and they loved it just as much.
Just loved it so much. Just their eyes just get big.
You
they
see
get
dreams
excited.
Being born, right?
My kids were walking around. Yeah. They have this great new display down there now about space. I'm sitting there looking through the glass at moon rocks with my kids. And one of my kids was like, I want to be an astronaut. And as a parent, you hear your kids say that. And you're like, I'm almost crying walking around silently. I'm like, oh, please don't go to space. It's kind of scary. But I am like, I'm sitting there like this. I'm watching dreams being born,
exactly.
Just like you're saying.
It's amazing.
It's so cool. Kind of embarrassing, though. I did walk up to a lady, and this is not even a joke, and I'm not trying to be funny. This is just my stupidity, and I'm happy to share it with you. There was a lady, and I like fancy myself like a real chit chat person. Like,
yeah,
I always,
you're engaging.
I like to engage with people. Especially the people who are there. Like, they have if they're in a certain jacket, you know what they. And so I walked up to this lady and I commented on her name tag, and I was like, "Oh, that's a unique name. That's nice. How do you pronounce that? Is that Docent Docant?" And I swear to God, I was not trying to be funny. Yeah. I thought her name was Docent, and the look she had on her face. She thought I was such a simpleton, such a dum-dum, and I kind of was. And she's like, no, this is Docent. This is what I do here. Right. I can tell you all about these cool planes. Her name was actually like Janine or something. Sweet lady. But her name is not Docent.
What does Docent stand for?
You know what Docent is.
No, they have them at like zoos and
how
museums.
Is it that both of us didn't know who Docent is and we're hosting a show on Cairo?
It's a French name.
It's typically a volunteer at a museum or a museum of flight or a zoo or something.
Is it an acronym? Is it director of?
No. Docent just means like a person who can lead you around. There's probably a definition we could look up about Docent.
Okay, cool. I'm learning too. Don't feel stupid.
Well, this makes me feel better that you didn't know.
I didn't know.
A member of the teaching staff immediately below a professional rank. So they're typically volunteers.
Informed volunteers that can help guide make a better experience. Exactly. Okay, cool.
Yeah. It was cool. So we
feel love the Museum of Flight. It's a treasure in the Northwest.
Check it out. It was great.
Thank you, Miss Docent.
Thank you, Miss Docent. Beautiful name. Yeah. All right, we got a lot coming up. Stick around. Welcome back to the John Curley and Sherry Ellicker Show. Jake Skorheim and Spike O'Neill sitting in. Spike, did you see that? I mean, of course you did. I'm asking you the question, but I know the answer already. New York had an earthquake.
What?
East Coast had an earthquake. I don't know if you heard about this. They had a middling size earthquake.
Yeah.
4.8. Everybody was freaking out about it. CNN was on the air shortly after it happened.
We're following breaking news out of New York right now of 4.8 magnitude earthquake.
I'm going to pause it there real fast. Have you ever seen, this is just a total aside, have you guys ever seen Wolf Blitzer's appearance on Jeopardy? It's like 14 years ago.
Uh-uh. What, he was a contestant?
He was a contestant.
Okay.
Yeah. The man reads news. He's not a genius.
You're kidding me. He knew nothing?
He knew. He was on Celebrity Jeopardy. We'll get into the earthquake in just a second. Okay. But he was on Celebrity Jeopardy. I might even have a clip here. This is totally way off
brand.
That's
so funny.
He was on Celebrity Jeopardy, and he was asked all these questions, and he just could not have been. Oh, yeah, here it is. All right. I'm going to play this real fast. Then we'll get back to the serious earthquake that everyone's talking about.
Please welcome Wolf Blitzer.
What is fettuccine?
No. Wolf.
What is Jerusalem?
No. Wolf.
What is a defendant?
No.
Wolf. Annotated?
No. Wolf.
What is a crash?
No. Wolf. Things have not worked out as well as you hoped for, I'm sure.
And here's what I think,
faster on that signaling device today. But it's long been our policy on Celebrity Jeopardy that all contestants get to play in the final round. And so even though you're at minus 4,600 now, we're going to wipe that out. I'm going to give you an even $1,000 so you get to play in Final Jeopardy.
What were you going to say?
I think maybe that Alex Trebek got a table at a restaurant that Wolf Blitzer got a table.
It's just
paid Alex to stay at the sounds. Sorry.
Isn't that hilarious?
Sorry, Wolf. No. Because no matter what he said, no.
When he's
sorry.
Reading a script, when he's reading the news, I mean, there's such a gravitas there. You can tell he knows what he's talking about because he's reading it.
Oh, yeah.
But when he's actually got to give answers. I don't know how any of us would do on Jeopardy. It's a tough game. Let's get back to the earthquake.
Rattling the tri-state area just a few moments ago. Initial reports indicate the shaking was felt in New York, in New Jersey, down in Philadelphia, as well as Washington, D.C., where I am. Right now, the NYPD says no damages or injuries have been reported.
I've lived in New York City my whole life. Never have I experienced what we just did shortly before 10:30 this morning. I was about to leave the apartment, and suddenly everything started shaking. I could feel the floor was shaking. I could hear the dishes in my cabinets were rattling.
So there's no injuries. There's no fatalities that have been reported as of yet. That's as of today. I doubt there's probably going to be any. 4.8 is not a giant earthquake.
They just had another one 8 minutes ago, 4.0, by the way. And some people felt that one, too. But yeah, in terms of earthquakes, this is very small compared to what we get out here.
They just don't get as many on the East Coast.
Right.
Well, when the only thing that breaks is news.
Yeah,
Is it breaking news?
Yeah.
I mean, I get that New York is the center of the universe and all things. It's a big deal. No buses no light rail was altered. No subways were closed.
They said
no
they
trains.
Slowed the trains down a little bit.
Really, a little
because
bit.
They felt there was a video that they kept playing around like 25 times. I've seen it now on CNN, but it is a webcam from the Statue of Liberty,
mm-hmm.
and it just looks like maybe a bird landed on it.
It's shaking, a little
shaking,
a little tiny
bit.
Yeah,
or maybe it's like you. It's indistinguishable if there was a little bit of wind moving
the
camera.
Right, light winds
looks the exact same. Yeah. So they're all fine, thankfully. So if you have any loved ones in New York that you want to call and check in on, you may not need to.
I read a story that said a bike courier fell off his bike as it was shaking. I mean, okay, it was nothing. We have skinned knees. Let's go live now.
It's possible he just fell off his bike, too.
That's true, too.
It's the location that's the weird part about this story. And I'm kind
Jersey?
Of like obsessed with, yeah, it was the
West
episode
Jersey,
was
right?
in Jersey.
Yeah.
You have a weird habit. Tell me about this.
I grew up in Southern California, so earthquakes are just, that's what, you know, we did earthquake drills. I've felt hundreds and hundreds of earthquakes at all weird times of the day doing interesting things. So I'm kind of obsessed with them, and we've always been told like the big one, you know, we're hundreds of years
just
overdue
like up here.
For the big one.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing up here. Typically it's like anywhere from 400 to 1200 years, and it's been almost 1200, so we're right in there where it should happen.
Oh, man.
So I follow all these earthquake bots on Twitter or X, and one of them is called Quakes Today, and I think it's anything over a 1.5. And I just sit there and watch these all the time, and there's not too many. There's thousands that are smaller than that. But in the last couple of months, there have been a lot. We had, just off the coast of Oregon, there was like 5 a week ago, and they were all pretty big, but they were out in the ocean. So these the ring of fire, as they call it, has been extremely active in the last couple of months. The one we had, the one in Taiwan a couple
big
of days
one.
Ago,
yeah.
that was a
yeah.
really big one.
Seven,
I would not
something.
Be surprised if there's a couple big ones.
Does it mean anything? I mean, when I heard, you know, earthquake this morning, I saw the news alert, earthquake. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, okay, Pacific Rim, they had Taiwan last week, or something happened on the West Coast, but no, it's on the East Coast. Is that?
Yeah, it's the outlier, but that's why it's so interesting. It's like, why did this happen? Like, what's going on under the surface that's causing even places that aren't considered on a fault to get an earthquake?
So this is apparently, this is the third largest earthquake that they've had in the last 50 years.
Coast to Coast.
What is this song?
This is AM Coast to Coast, yeah. baby. George Dory.
Oh, yeah, of course. No,
yeah, come on, man.
NBC had an interesting way to try to tell the story. I guess by the midday, they realized that this was a nothing and that nobody really cared. And so they were trying to like excite things up a little bit. So this is their headline. I thought this was funny. Can climate change play a role in the frequency of earthquakes? Not a joke. This is from NBC. Yeah. They concluded at the end of this story, if you were to follow through and click the link, which I don't think many people did, but if you did, at the end of the story, they said that the doctor who they were talking to indicated the continuous rise in sea levels can increase the amount of pressure exerted on the Earth's shelves and coastlines, resulting in mostly scattered and infrequent quakes with long lead times. The positive takeaway is that experts say there's no need to be alarmed and no elevated quake is expected anytime soon. But earthquakes are generally not expected.
Yeah, how do you know? Come
so
on.
So you just don't know. This is maybe the worst this is the worst thing that happened on the East Coast. There was a guy in Pennsylvania. His name is Justin Allen. He's from Horsham, Pennsylvania. I wish John was here because he could give us his great Pennsylvania accent. And he was in the middle of a vasectomy he was getting this earthquake hit.
So I'm in my office with this guy, right? And this guy's had 7 kids. So he's due for a vasectomy. You know what I'm saying?
There you go.
Yeah, I'm right there with John.
Are you from Pennsylvania?
No, I'm from Balmer, which is just down the road. We say it worse than Philly people do.
Man, you
same,
guys are
same
good
accent.
At this.
So this guy's lying there. I got him up in his stirrups, right? And I'm looking at the twins, and I got the knife. And it's a sharp knife, you know? It's supposed to be a sharp knife, so there's less pain that way. Everything's all numbed up. And I'm about to go all sudden in the room. So I said, whoa, moving target, dude. I'm like, do you have a couple martinis at lunch? He said, no. Where the room's moving.
Sorry about that. Yeah, I'll get all caught up when it comes to Phillies and stuff. Sorry about that.
Is that actually how they sound?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I thought it was always like a caricature joke or something that you guys were doing.
It's
that's really it.
That's weird. If I go back to Baltimore, as I do on a pretty annual basis, I come back after week, hon. I'm talking about going down the ocean, see them going to O's game. You know what I'm talking about? Go get some crabs at O'Brecky's. And you got another glass of water?
That's such
a weird,
what
two
a
hours
strange accent. It's a very strange accent.
That mid-Atlantic. Well, we just dropped syllables.
Yeah, okay.
Syllables is a two-syllable word. You know, Balmer, two-syllable town.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Well, it makes
do.
Sense.
I know you do.
This guy's fine. He's still... Did they postpone the
procedure?
I was going to say, worst case scenario, he continues being able to have babies, but they actually finished the job. They just put the scalpel down or whatever they
took
do.
Took a quick break.
Wait for the shaking to stop. That's what you want.
He said that he thought the doctor was playing a trick on him at first. He said, I thought maybe a train was passing by.
Stop moving over there,
or it was just something that happens at that office. Or the doctor was like, I think this is an earthquake. I figured he was messing with me, but he had to stop everything, was shaking. We talked about how we'd never forget where we were at that moment, and now he's fine, and he's not able to have kids, so I guess it all worked out.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Would you forget your vasectomy unless there was an earthquake?
No,
Doesn't
I think
that
I'd
seem like somebody you'd remember?
Yeah, I'd remember.
I have
sure.
so many. Who can keep track?
Yeah, I'd remember.
No.
This makes me nervous. I mean, it's probably TMI, but I'm thinking about getting one of these because I'm about to have my fourth
kid. You said you're having your fourth?
Yeah.
I think you should have been thinking about it. That's just me.
That's plenty.
Okay.
But I'm thinking about this. So I read the story. I'm just like, I had to read. I had never looked into it before, like mm-hmm. what the actual process is.
Sure.
Have you had it done?
No. I went the home route.
Okay.
Which means I had testicular cancer. So.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah, I did.
Okay,
I did.
That's a very different thing.
I make jokes, but I shouldn't about such serious subjects as the decision to have a vasectomy or whatever reproductive, you know.
I mean, it's kind of funny in this situation.
It's hilarious in this guy's. I could go back in a Philly accent all of a sudden. This thing's like a chandelier on the Titanic.
That's a lot
going
funny.
Back and forth.
That's funnier. Yeah, we appreciate that.
So
let's move away from the testicular cancer.
Okay, yeah.
But anyway, yeah, this was a scary story, so it's kind of freaked me out. I'm not sure what to think about that. Welcome back to the John Curley and Sherry Elicker Show. I am Jake Skorheim from Cairo Knights with Jake Skorheim, and alongside me is Spike O'Neill from the Jack and Spike Show. Spike, let me ask you something.
Sure, buddy.
Are you a fan of those little tipping machines? I'm noticing that you're eating a lunch during the commercial breaks.
I was. I apologize.
No. No apology necessary.
Long
it's good
day.
Stuff. When you go into any of these shops now,
mm-hmm.
when you used to go into a shop, you would make your purchases and there would be a little jar next to the counter.
Yep.
And it might say karma on it or something
that,
something clever. It might say tipping is not just a city in China.
Remember
that was
those
another thing
too?
I saw.
You bet.
People are asking for little bits of cash, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I used to sometimes tip them, depending mm-hmm. on the service. And now they flip a iPad around to you, and it glows in your face, and then they stare at you, and they expect you to decide what you're going to tip before anything happens.
Right. No matter what service they provide.
Are you loving these tip machines?
I'm hating these tip machines. I'm hating the preconception or the notion that everybody is due a tip for everything they do at their job.
It's for everything now.
Everything. I'm coming and picking up to-go food at a counter. I'm supposed to tip you, and it gives me options, 25%, 20%, 18%.
Yeah.
For handing me a bag to the guy in the back cook, you didn't come to my
there's
table,
no service,
check my water.
There's nothing.
I got no bread.
Yeah.
I got no butter. I
Absolutely.
Got no nothing.
I'm 100% with you. So Wallet Hub, they have done a little research onto this, and they are finding that there is kind of a backlash. Those tipping machines, everybody's familiar with those. Those went onto the market a couple years ago. We've had them around. They're now mm-hmm. ubiquitous because tipping has gone way, way, way up, like 35% increase since those things came out. People are just paying way more because of the guilt. And that's what they're trying to do. Trying to stare at you, and they're trying to, because it's a really effective way to get more money out of you. But then your experience at these places goes way down. Because whenever I leave one of these places and I have been guilted into doing this, which happens almost every single time, or used to, I'm becoming a little bit, growing the backbone about it.
Yeah.
But whenever I leave one of these places, I always feel a little taken advantage of. Because
Agreed.
Before, I wasn't being asked to tip, and I wouldn't tip anything on a to-go order.
Yeah.
It was just assumed, why am I tipping? Tipping is for service. And now it doesn't even start. It's like you can do 18, 20, or 25% is usually what is there.
Sometimes there's a custom option.
And then there's
option.
A custom option,
which
I so what I usually do is I hit custom, I add a dollar no matter what it is, and then I walk out. I feel like I'm doing something.
You got to be careful with the custom. And this happened to my wife. She actually did it. She went to custom to do it, leave a $2 tip on some whatever it was. She accidentally left him $200.
Oh, no.
Because it's just so easy. And I'm like, I didn't know how easy it was. And then it happened to me, too. But I caught it right before I was just buying a drink at a convenience store.
You're like, where's backspace on this thing?
Yeah, I'm like, whoa. But she actually had to call them and be like, hey, sorry, look,
I am not tipping
$200.
You. That wasn't the greatest paper bag I ever
exactly,
was handed.
Yeah.
You were tipping on a drink at a convenience store?
Yeah, I can't remember. I don't remember what it was. But yeah, I was tipping like a dollar.
Doesn't it feel dumb? Like, don't you just feel dumb? I know when I'm doing it that I feel dumb doing it.
Yeah.
Like, I ordered a sandwich today. I walked down the street to a place. I'm not going to name them, something to make them feel bad. But I got a sandwich. Wasn't actually that great of a sandwich. Okay. I didn't enjoy it too much. But I tipped. I paid for the thing. He flips it around. I hit the custom button. I do all the things I normally do. I paid him a dollar. And then after the whole thing is done, he goes, yeah, it's going to be about 15 minutes. And I was like sitting there like 15 minutes for a to-go sandwich. This is ridiculous. Like, can I have my custom
tip
back?
Yeah. For a buck. It's not for a buck. I want it in three minutes or less.
I know. Suddenly like a $9 sandwich becomes a $10, $11 sandwich. But people are starting to get upset by this. Wallet Hub did this survey and they found that 3 in 4 Americans think that tipping has gotten out of control. Professor Michael Lynn, he is a consumer behavior professor at Cornell. Pronounced Colonel, I think. And he said that iPad screens make it harder for customers to say no. Before, customers would just see a tip jar. They could ignore it if they wanted to. But now they have to actively say no. Many are standing in line at a coffee shop and are worried about what the guy behind them is thinking.
Sure.
Which is the whole point
pressures.
Of this thing.
Yeah.
The coffee shop is where this started. I think this all started at Starbucks.
Mm.
I used to work at a coffee shop. One of my first jobs when I was 17, I worked at a Tully's, which was like,
Tully's.
I loved it too. Yep. They tried to be Starbucks, but they didn't have any business sense.
Great
so they
guy.
Went out of business. Yep. Tom was a great guy.
Yep, he was.
Yeah. Did you know him?
I did. Did many charitable events together with Tom O'Keefe.
Yeah. Cool guy. Yeah. Anyway, he tried to start this coffee chain. I think their coffee actually still lives on. You can still buy Tully's coffee. It's just they don't have the brick-and-mortar stores anymore.
They got Starbucks out of business.
Well, back in the day, like if you wanted to make extra money, you would work really hard for their business. So if you're a barista, back in the day, I would see somebody walking in from the parking lot, and I would go, oh, that person's a Venti Macchiato, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
I would have it made for them and ready for them by the time they got in. And then when they paid for their drink, I'd slide it across and I'd watch the look on their face and they go, man, this guy's got good service.
Yep.
I'll toss 50 cents in there.
That's what tipping's supposed to be for.
And now it's this entirely different thing. So the service has all completely left the equation, has nothing to do with service anymore. Now it's just about guilt and shame.
Well, I think it's also about people underpaying their staff and people.
No.
Hold on a minute. You know, because, you know, a living wage is the buzzword of the century, right? People paying a living wage. What's the minimum wage?
$19.97 an hour is minimum wage. In Seattle,
yeah, I get you. But there's a lot of times where people who rely on tips to make their income, a lot of employers underpay their staffs. It's, you know, is 19 bucks even if you're tipping or not nowadays in Seattle? Because it's evolved since I actually had to work for a living. I just sit there and run my gums.
$19.97 an hour.
Okay.
Yeah.
So at that point, nobody should get tipped unless they're coming to your table with bread and water.
Yes.
Right?
Checking
to make sure they made that with nuts. You're allergic. Let me first off hit you with the EpiPen.
Yeah.
I'll go back and get you a fresh one.
Let me refill your water.
Refill your water for you. How was everything?
Do
you guys save room for dessert?
Me.
Sure.
Yes.
That's what tipping is for.
Well, we can both agree on this then.
I'm with you, buddy.
And we hate these little machines.
And I'm glad that there's a social kind of a pushback in this. You've gone too far.
Me too.
Spin it around 25% for nothing.
You know what I'm going to start doing? I'm going to spin it back at them. Right?
Yeah.
I'm just going to say, no, you take, I'm going to hand you my card. I don't want to do it.
What do you think it's worth?
They're not even taking my card anymore. How ridiculous is that?
You got to tap it and yeah.
Now I'm literally doing everything except making the sandwich. Am I going to walk behind there and make the sandwich too? It's ridiculous. These people are out of control.